There's nowhere to run from here, I said.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. If they get this far past our lines, we're all dead anyway.
I had to agree with him. Chapter 25. A series of thuds began. They were quiet at first, like the tread of distant feet. But then they became louder, and we saw the ceiling tremble. Droplets of condensation from the roof of the tunnel showered down with each rhythmic beat, and we stared around with open mouths.
"Could that be a herd of charging juggers?" I asked.
"If it is, the boys on the walls are in it pretty deep," Carlos replied. "Those juggers must be the size of lifters." "But no, I don't buy that. The lizards aren't big enough to shake these steel walls. I bet it's artillery."
I figured he was right. The sound was getting louder, as if the enemy were isolating the target and homing in on us. We put our backs to the door, and I tried to reach the team inside. "You guys okay in there?" Nothing came back but static.
"The door must be too thick," I said. "It's metal and slag like everything else around here."
"Maybe you should tap in the door code and check on them," Carlos said.
"Why? Nothing can get through. We'll stand our posts and do as ordered."
Carlos shrugged. We both knew why we wanted to stick our noses into the room. The sounds of the attack were unnerving. Just to see more human faces and voices, any contact would be better than standing here listening to doom slamming down on the base outside. The sound of explosions continued unabated. In fact, they grew louder.
"So loud!"
I shouted, giving my head a shake.
"What?"
"It's super loud! Must be the acoustics in this metal tunnel. It's carrying the sound."
Carlos nodded, but I wasn't sure he even knew what I was saying. After about 5 more minutes, during which we hunkered down, aiming our weapons in different directions down the hallways, an officer appeared on the stairway. He came down at a run, almost falling as he had to hop from one giant step to the next. Many were slick with a fine sheen of condensed water that reminded me of sweat.
"Where are the revivals?" he shouted at me.
I knew he was an officer from his kit, which included a sidearm rather than a snap rifle. When he got closer, I recognized Adjunct Leeson. He trotted up to us, removing his helmet and looking wildly around.
"They should be coming out now," he said. "How many have they processed?"
Carlos and I looked at the door and shrugged.
"No clue, sir," I said. "Radio doesn't go through the security door."
He frowned and hammered on the door. It was like hammering on a boulder.
"Open it," he said.
"There's a code, sir," Carlos said.
"Then tap it in, recruit," he snapped.
Carlos went for it first. A series of symbols appeared on the screen, and he began pecking at the lock. Leeson groaned when he saw what Carlos was doing.
"Not one of those damn things. Human locks only keep out humans."
I thought it might have been one of the smartest things he'd ever said, but I kept quiet. Carlos failed to open it, and Leeson began cursing.
"I'm sorry, sir," Carlos said. "I thought I had it, my fingers in these gloves. I might have touched the contact once."
"Get the hell out of the way,"
Leeson roared and pulled Carlos away.
"What's wrong, sir?"
I said.
"I know we've been hit, but it takes a while to get the revival unit operating."
He looked at me, his eyes wild.
"Centurion Graves was taken out with the first salvo. We need him back on the line as soon as possible."
I realized that with Graves down, Leeson was in charge of the unit. He didn't seem happy with that situation.
"So, it is artillery?"
Carlos asked him.
"Yeah. Overkill, if you ask me. I think the Saurians are mad. They... damn it!"
He broke off. It was his second try, and the door still wouldn't open. He stepped back and glared.
"Something's wrong with it," he said.
"Let McGill have a go," Carlos suggested. "He's the only one who got it to work earlier."
"All right," Leeson said, waving me forward. "Nothing works down here. We have a direct wire to this room, but no one can talk to the revival room bios. We should never have put it down here."
I glanced back at him, then finished the sequence. I straightened, absolutely sure I'd done it right. Nothing happened. The door blinked, but then flipped from green to red again.
"I thought it was open," Carlos said. "I saw it go green."
"Try it again,"
growled Leeson.
Okay, I said, stepping up to the door again. This time I put my ear to the door latch as I worked, looking at the symbols sidelong. Carlos started talking again, but both Leeson and I shushed him. I could tell the adjunct knew what I was doing. I tapped and the door went green and clicked. Then the indicators flashed red again.
I heard it, I said.
It opened, but now it's closed.
Leeson was clawing at his tapper, bringing up his comm link. He tapped, but it didn't work either.
These tunnel walls, Carlos said.
Get that door open,
Leeson ordered, jabbing his finger at it with every word.
I'll go get reinforcements.
Carlos took his rifle and hammered on the door. I worked the lock again and tried to ignore the noise he was making. For once, I thought he was justifiably loud. The third time around, the results were the same. The door was opening, but the lock wasn't working for some reason.
Here, I said.
Maybe it's just jammed. Get your knife out and hammer the tip into the crack. The next time I open the lock, we'll try to pry it open. If we can get it to open just a crack before the thing faults and locks again, we might be able to get in. Carlos did as I said, and it finally worked. I heard tramping feet on the stairs and in the passage behind me, but I didn't really hear the others coming. Leeson had brought reinforcements, but I knew it wasn't going to matter. Everyone in the chamber was lying on the floor. Specialist Grant, Keevy, Natasha, all of them. They were all dead or badly injured. Grant was beyond dead. She'd been torn apart. The worst part was the revival unit was missing. There was only a hole in the wall behind the unit where it used to be. The hole was ragged as if it had been cut with heat. Beyond it, a tunnel opened. I couldn't see much as it was full of smoke and steam and was pitch black.
What the hell happened here?
Leeson screamed at my side. He reached out, grabbed my shoulder, and spun me around.
You were guarding this equipment, soldier. Report.
It had to be the lizards, sir. We never left our post. They came through the back wall. They might have had help, or there was a pre-existing tunnel back there. I can't believe they drilled it that fast and that quietly.
Leeson looked up. We all did. The bombardment had stopped.
Cover, he said. The artillery was cover. They hit us hard for a few minutes, long enough to get into the chamber and take our machine.
He shook his head.
We have to seal this up.
Leeson turned to a trio of weaponeers he'd brought down with him. I recognized Sargon among them. I knew right away his plan must have been to burn the door down if we couldn't get it open. Risky, but as it turned out, it could have been the right move.
We have to seal this up. We can't have them getting in behind us.
Three biospecialists pushed past me and began checking the fallen. They gave up quickly on everyone, except Keevy.
Is she going to make it?
I asked them.
Maybe, they said noncommittally.
They carried Keevy up the stairs as I watched. I felt shocked and a little sick to see them all taken out like this.
But sir, I said, following Adjunct Leeson, what about the dead? We can't revive them now. Are they going up to the ship?
He shook his head slowly.
I would guess not. Their data was here, and we only had the one copy. They've been permed. There's nothing we can do.
I stared with my mouth hanging open. I looked at the bodies all over again as if really seeing them for the first time. Natasha and Specialist Grant had been permed?
That couldn't be. We all died now and then, sure, but we always came back.
Sir? I called, catching his eye while the weaponeers set up tripods and calibrated their weapons. At this short range, they had to be careful or they'd be consumed by the backblast. He glanced at me but turned away.
Sir, Adjunct Leeson?
Recruit, it happens. Only one machine has your data at a given time. That's the rule. If the machine is wiped out before a copy can be transferred, so are you.
What about the rest of them? The people who got hit during the bombardment?
The moment the comm link was cut with the revival unit, the command post reported that to the ship. It's all automated. We
We can die down here safely now, and just about everyone who died in the bombardment should be in the clear.